I love to worship, and I love the team we have here. We're very blessed. And as we start this new year, there's so many things that I really am excited about what God is going to do. And so we're starting with a series called Trajectory. And we're talking about trajectory being how you set the compass, how you set kind of to the North Star, to in the right direction, to make sure your life ends up where you want it to end up. Ms. Baffling, you've had this experience, and so have I, where you talk with somebody and they say, I can't believe how I ended up here. In their financial life, their relational life, their spiritual life, and you want to go, I know how you ended up there. I've been watching you for the last 2 years, you know, and you kept wandering off and wandering off. I think of like my wife Sherry and I, if we were taking a walk together, and we're holding hands, taking a walk, and as a matter of fact, Saturday mornings we go for a hike together. We take about a 2-hour walk or hike pretty much every Saturday morning somewhere. It's such a beautiful area here. We find different hikes and walks. And if we were saying, well, here's our destination, and we're going along, and she stays on course, but I'm maybe a couple degrees off. Just a couple degrees off from being on course. We're walking along. You know, by the end of, say, a football field's length, I probably can't even hold her hand anymore because, you know, I've kind of wandered off and she stayed on course. I'm a couple degrees off. And I could say, I could still see her. I'd be like, hey, Sherry, you know, how you doing? But then if I traveled a mile or two and I stayed a couple degrees off, I can't even see her anymore. And you take that 6 months or a year down the road and you go, who are they? Where are they? You know, that's how do marriages come apart. It's a couple degrees. It's usually not the huge things. It's the little stuff. A couple degrees off. And what we're going to be looking at for the first 5 weeks of this year, and really through this whole year, we're going to be focusing on how do we really fix our eyes on the right target? What's true north? What's the North Star for us? How do we stay focused? How do we build on the right foundation? So we don't look back and say, how did I end up here? But we say, boy, I love where I am. And to do that, it's often a matter of a couple of degrees. And as I thought about this, and if you've been around the church at all, you know, I think in pictures. I think in stories and pictures. It's just the way God has wired my brain. People say, well, where do you come up with these illustrations? How do you come up with these images or pictures? I don't know. They're there. They pop into my brain. And so I was thinking about trajectory, and I thought of all those moments in sports where things are off like 1 or 2 degrees, and that the whole story could have ended differently had the adjustment been just slight. And so you can see on the screen a few of those moments in sports. And I want to warn you right now, our video team put these together. They collected these images. And if you're a bit squeamish, there's some moments when you're off a little bit in a sport and it hurts. If you see that coming and you're squeamish, just look away. If you're not sure when to, look at me, because I tend to look away at those things. I just don't like to see those moments. So, but watch when things are off just a degree or two. Take a look. You don't have to be off by much, do you? And it can get painful. Emotionally painful, physically painful. But you know what? As painful as some of those things were on the screen, it doesn't compare to people who look down the road 6 or 8 months back to where they were and realize they've gone off track and this relationship has fallen apart. That's painful. This friendship has blown up because they just kind of started to wander. Their financial life has imploded because it was just a couple little things to start with, you know? And all of a sudden, man, it's painful. And one of my hopes and prayers for us is that we would in these 5 weeks, but also through the whole year, really say, how do we recalibrate, recalculate, get our lives on the right target? And life is not a matter of setting your course once and being there. It's over and over and over again. Resetting, 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 recalculate. And so I started thinking too about there's also those great moments in sports where the angle's right, the arc is right, the trajectory is right, and it's glorious. And I thought they could leave a little better taste in your mouth, a little more emotional up. Watch the screen.
Oh, the line drive. It's got enough distance. It is.
Anybody want to try that? You know, it's a world of difference between landing with your bike on the edge of a roof and doing that flip and making that shot. It's degrees. It's the smallest amount, but it makes all the difference in the world. So we're going to be talking about setting your setting your direction for the right destination. Setting, where does God want me to go? How does God want me to live? And here's something I've learned in this whole theme that we're going to be talking about trajectory. I've learned there's this wonderful word, a comforting word that I've learned because on my GPS it talks to me, and the word is recalculating. Anybody have a GPS on their car? And when I'm driving somewhere, I'm driving along, and I set it to where I want to go. But if I miss an off-ramp or miss a turn, it actually says to me, recalculating. Not in a mumbling tone like you saw in the Shoreline mumbling GPS, but it says recalculating. And then it kind of does, and it gives me the quickest new direction to get there. And I, because of that recalculating, it has struck me that that's what life is often like. I wish I could say I'm going from point A to point B, and then, you know, the shortest distance between 2 points is a straight line. I never travel that way. I wander a little bit and I have to recalculate. The Bible word for that is repentance. Repentance is reorienting your life towards what God wants. God, I was heading the wrong direction. I'm sorry. I confessed it. I messed up. Bring me back in line with what you want in my relationship, in my finances, in my friendships, in my work life, in my personal health, whatever it is. You recalculate over and over and over again. Now, I've got my GPS in my car, and it's kind of a simple little thing about this big. And it just, I put in where I'm going, and it just recalculates, gives me a new route. And I thought, you know, you thought to myself, you know, if there's anywhere where you don't have to recalculate, I mean, you think on the road, you're recalculating, but what if you're in the air? You're flying. You can go from straight from one place to another. Wouldn't that be great? Well, I had a chance recently to fly, they call it right seat, in the co-pilot seat in a plane, in a jet, actually. And the pilot is, you know, from, we took off near San Jose, and we landed in Orange County, in Santa Ana. So you think you take off, you set the direction, and you stay on that course the whole way. Wrong. On this flight, and I didn't keep track, but I would venture a guess that the pilot received over 100 instructions on that flight. Go from 19,000 feet to 21, 21 to 23, go down, go 3 degrees to your right, set, move. Over and over and over. And between instructions, we could talk and kind of interact, but the moment that one of the different towers, they would kind of hand them from tower to tower going down the coast. You kind of, okay, now you're, this person's taking you. And whoever it was, man, woman, that, when that voice said, when they called out the call sign for that plane and they said, which way to go? Go 15 degrees. This pilot would get very serious, adjust, and go there. He never once said back to the tower, nah. Not once. Never said, I'm going to get some coffee. I'll get back in a few minutes. He never said, let me think about it. He just did it. And we landed safely. Adjustment after adjustment, recalculation after recalculation. And here's what struck me. The people in those towers knew more than he did. They knew where all the planes were, where the rough air was. They knew what it would take. They're projecting all these different trajectories of different planes and where they're going. And they safely guided us through. Now, he did his part in flying the plane. He followed the instructions, and you have to be skilled to do that. But he also understood it was really smart of him to listen to the instructions from those towers. So you imagine, what if in your life, you had those towers along the way giving you instructions each step of the way? We do. One tower, one voice, God. God speaks in a lot of different ways, first and foremost, primarily through his word. But he'll speak sometimes through people or circumstances. He'll direct us. And our life looks like this. We're going along and we start to kind of veer off a little bit. And God says, recalculate over here. And we move back again, recalculate. And our lives are just realigning with God's will for us. Or at least they should be. And when we don't listen, when we don't follow, that's when we get in trouble. So for these 5 weeks, we're really talking about how to set the trajectory, the alignment of our lives toward true north, where God wants us to be. And there's two thoughts I want you to think about through this whole five-week series. And these two key concepts or ideas are this. Focus, where do we keep our eyes? You know, where do we keep our eyes? How do we focus if we want to get where God wants us to go? And foundation, what do we build our lives on? Those two words, every day, Lord, what is my focus? What is my foundation? What is my focus? What is my foundation? Keep your focus right, build on the right foundation, you're going to be okay. Lose your focus, build on a bad foundation, expect trouble. This is what the Word of God says. The first one here on our focus, concept number one. This is from Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. The writer of Hebrews writes and talks about this, and just think about this for a moment. Notice, and if you're a note taker, Take some notes. If you're not, I encourage you, on your program that you got when you came in, on your bulletin, there's a blank page that's just for you to write a couple notes down. I would challenge you in 2011, that for this year, come to church with a Bible and something to write with. We'll give you the program. It has a little page there. And write down one or two thoughts. There's going to be something you go, oh, that's a good verse. Or I should remember that. Write it down. Well, I'm not a note taker. I'm not going to write a whole book. Don't write a book. Write one or two sentences. But something to remind you. And bring a Bible with you to church. We're going to start providing Bibles along the walls as you come in if you don't have one with you. But I would say go to the Shoreline Books. We have not only the best Christian bookstore in Monterey. I think we have the only one right here on our campus. Go by there and check it out. Get a Bible. Say, what's a good Bible that the same translation that Pastor Kevin uses when he preaches? Get a Bible. If you can't afford a Bible, talk with me or Pastor Dennis or Pastor Howie, any of our pastors. If you can't afford a Bible, we will get you a Bible. We're that committed. We'll get you a Bible. There's not one person that wants a Bible we won't get one for. If you can afford one, go pick one out that fits you, that you like. And I have a new one that has larger print. I don't know why. But get a Bible that works for you and bring it with you and write a few thoughts down. I'll even say, put an underline that or put a note in your Bible there. And this is, hopefully this year will be a new year where you dig into God's word in some fresh ways. But Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Notice the idea of focus here, all right? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, these are all the Christians who've gone before us. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, that trips us when we try to follow Jesus. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. If you have your own Bible, open in front of you. It's something to write with. Underline this. Fixing our eyes on, what does it say? Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's our focus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down in victory at the right hand of at the throne of God. Consider him. And that word consider means think about, remember, meditate. Keep thinking about Jesus. Focus on him. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Consider him and what he did. That's our focus. You want the trajectory of your life to be towards the right things. You want joy, health, peace, all the things that God wants you to experience in life. Just a great, amazing life. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And remember that he endured the cross and suffered for you. Boy, I don't know where to focus right now. Focus on Jesus. And keep that focus there day by day and year by year. And it'll be amazing. It'll give you a new direction for life. Then the second concept, our foundation. What is our foundation? This is found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. If your Bible, turn there. If not, look on the screens. And look at the foundation. Jesus is getting the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he kind of sums it all up, and he says, remember this. And he gives his final word. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man, the wise woman, the wise person who builds his house on the rock. Now listen to this. The rain came down, and it will. The streams rose, and they will in life. The winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it, and if you got something to write with, underline this, yet it did not fall. Highlight that, mark that, underline that, do something with that one. Yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. Based on the teaching, the word, the truth of God that Jesus brought. And then it goes on, but, other side of the story, other side of the coin, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man, a foolish woman, a foolish person who built his house on sand. The rain came down and it does, the streams rose and they will, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. How did I get here? How did this happen? Oftentimes, if we just went to a close friend, a spouse, a family member, and said, how did I get here? They'll tell us. If they love us, if they really love us, they'll tell us before we get there. Sometimes we don't tell people before we see what they're doing, and we see they're going off a few degrees, and they're wandering. Go, boy, they're going to end up in big trouble. Yeah, and then they get in big trouble and go, I saw that coming. Good for us. But couldn't we have maybe mentioned it to them? Well, that means we get involved in each other's lives. That's a whole other topic, isn't it? But it's an important one. We love each other enough to share those things. And the house falls because it was built on the sand. So here's the deal. The focus, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. The foundation, building your life on the words of Jesus. You go, so it's Jesus is our focus, Jesus is our foundation. Yes. Keep focusing your eyes on Jesus. Keep building your life on Jesus. And you will see yourself more and more ending up where God wants you to be and where you long to be. Keep your eyes off Jesus and build your life on the sand, anything but Jesus. And when the storms come, watch out. And don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Our focus is Jesus. Our foundation is Jesus. Now, years ago, I heard this little story. It's kind of a sweet story about the Sunday school teacher. She teaches these little first graders, little boys and girls, and they won't say much. They won't talk. She can't get them to, you know, say anything. So she says, well, I'm going to just try to ask them some questions and just get them talking. So she says, hey, kids, she plays a little game. I'm thinking of something. I'm thinking of something right now. It's furry and gray. It has a big bushy tail, little whiskers and a wiggly nose, and it climbs trees, it scampers up trees, and it collects nuts. That's what I'm thinking of. Who knows what I'm thinking of? And one little girl raises her hand, and she says, well, it sounds like a squirrel, but since we're in Sunday school, I'm going to go with Jesus. It's like, you know, is the answer always Jesus in Sunday school and in church? Not always, but a lot of times it is, you know. Where do we keep our focus if we want to head our lives in the right direction? On Jesus. When I played baseball as a kid, my dad would say, keep your eye on the ball, keep your eye on the ball, keep your eye on the ball, keep your eye on the ball. When you're up to bat, keep your eye on the ball. When you're catching the ball, keep your eye on the ball. Take your eye off the ball, bam, hit by the ball, you know? Keep your eye on Jesus, keep your eye on Jesus, keep your eye on Jesus, keep your eye on Jesus. Build your life on Jesus, build your life on Jesus, build your life on Jesus, build your life on Jesus. Your focus, your foundation, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Get it? Can you remember that this week? Jesus. Not a squirrel. It's Jesus. Jesus is the answer to this one. And so how do we do that? How do we set our spiritual trajectory? In the coming weeks, we're going to talk about our emotional trajectory, our relational trajectory, our financial trajectory, all these different areas, our physical trajectory. We're going to look at how we align our lives with God's will so we can go down the road, look back and say, man, I'm more like Jesus than I was before. And I'm more where I want to be than I was before. And I'm not going, man, I'm in big trouble, but I'm heading the right direction. How do we do that in our spiritual lives? I'm going to give you three things. If you're a note taker, write these three things down and remember these three things. But more than writing them down, commit yourself today to start taking steps forward and doing these things. Number one, the place and the power of God's word, the Bible. If you want to keep your focus on Jesus and your foundation on Jesus, get to know this book. There's no shortcuts. There's no better way. There's studies that have been done in the last few years. These big churches have studied to learn what will help people grow. And they came back knowing the Bible. Wow. Brilliant. You know, we had to do a big study to figure that out. No, as a pastor, it comes down to knowing this book and committing to know this book. There's a wonderful passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. In 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, who grew up in this wonderful believing home where he was taught the scriptures from a young age. And listen to what he says to Timothy. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. There's something great about growing up in a Christian home with parents who read the Bible to kids. I wish I had had that. I didn't even know the Bible existed almost until I was almost 16 years old. But if you have that as a kid, thank God. Don't dread that. Thank God that you have parents that love you, bring you to church, want to read the Bible with you. But Paul says, how from your infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. This book, breathed by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. This book. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for what? For every good work. To breathe out and serve the Lord. All Scripture is breathed by the Spirit of God. You want to get your focus right on Jesus, get to know his story. Get to know this book. You want to get your foundation built on Jesus, get to know this book. Jesus said, you're a wise person if you hear what I've taught you and you do what it says. And if you don't, you're building your house on the sand. So here's a couple practical ideas. And I want to let you know that through 2011, we are going to focus on really helping our congregation learn the Bible, the content of the Bible, to go deeper into God's Word. And here's some ways we're going to do that. Number one, through personal reading and study of the Bible. We will encourage you to go deeper in God's Word, to open up this book for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half an hour, whatever, every day. And say, God, teach me as I read your Word and to read this book between you and the Lord. Or maybe as a family, as a couple, every day to open this book. And some of you say, well, I don't know where to start. That's a huge book, and I don't know where to start. Well, every week, I sit down and I pray And I find passages that follow the preaching, and I print them right on the back of your program. If you forget your program, they're right on our website. It says scripture readings, and it says small group discussion questions. You click on it, and they're all right there. As a matter of fact, when you open it up, and it lists the passage, if you click on the passage, it'll open up the passage right on your computer, right there. Can't make it any easier. Can't go over to your house every morning, going to read your Bible? I can't do that. It just exhausts me, and it would frustrate you. But what we can do is make it right there in front of you. So those weekly readings are right there. Start today. Commit to do this. Set the trajectory towards what God wants by digging into his word in your own personal life. Study with others. Get with other people and dig into God's word. We create more opportunities here for you to breathe in and receive from God's word. We create all kinds of opportunities for you in this church. Sundays like this where we study God's word, third Wednesday of every month, night of worship. We get deep into God's word, about a 40-minute message where I dig into a passage of the Bible. We're doing the book of Revelation this year. Come on third Wednesdays, be part of that. Mondays, starting tomorrow night, there's a study called Precept Upon Precept, 2 hours long, book of Romans, deep theology, 2 hours every single Monday, and also on Wednesday during the daytime. You know what it costs to come to that? I don't know if you had to buy the book or something. Just come, be part of it. And you say, well, what else do you have? I'm starting a study tomorrow night, 6:30 to 7:30, 1 hour, and I'm going to do it on the first Monday throughout the year and look at the prophets. So tomorrow we're going to study Elijah and Elisha. That's once a month, 1 hour long. If that fits for you, come be part of that. If you say, I want to get in every week, 2 hours, precept upon precept. Men's Bible studies. Call Pastor Dennis. When do the men's groups meet? Early morning. Come be part of that. Women's Bible studies. Evenings, daytime. Small group materials. I write a small group study every single week off the sermon that we put in hard copy sheets right back at the Connection Center. You can pick one up every week. And also on the website, click readings, small group, click it, small groups, click it. There it is. And it's written, when I write my sermon, I write the weekly readings and a small group resource for you to use with your family around the kitchen table after a Sunday lunch. It's just about 8 or 10 questions, some Bible passages to read together. Or, as couples, families with some friends, start a group in your neighborhood. It's all right there. You say, but that's too complicated. No, it's really simple. We're putting it right out there for you. Also this, not just studying with others, memorizing and meditating on the Bible. You find a great passage that really hits you. Maybe this one from Matthew 7 about the rain and the storms coming, but build your house on the rock, not on the sand. That really hits me. Put it in your phone, and have it there in your phone. Put it on as a computer screensaver. Write it down on a card and post it in the mirror in your bathroom. Put it on your refrigerator and meditate, think about it. And even sometimes commit those things to memory where you go over it so many times, it's just in you. So it's there. But let God's word get into you. Or how about this? Just remember the importance of actions. If you're a note taker, write this down. James 1:22. James says, don't just be a hearer of the word. But he says this, do what it says. Follow what it says. So every sermon you hear, every time you read God's word, if you read something, you go, boy, that my life doesn't really line up with that. It's sort of like the pilot I was flying with. Turn 15 degrees to your left. Adjust, go. You're reading your Bible, you're in a small group study, you're here at church, and you hear something, and God says to you, adjust 4 degrees this way. Do it. Just now, immediately. Reflex. I don't think I like that instruction. Respond. And you will have your focus on Jesus and your foundation on Jesus. So God's word is huge. We're going to be raising that up throughout the year and challenging you to go deeper there. Here's the second thing. The life-changing power of conversation, of prayer. This is so important that in the first quarter of this year, we are spending 3 weeks just learning how to pray together as a church. We're going to, in our worship services, it's going to be fun, creative, dynamic, and we're going to finish those 3 weeks, and you're going to say, I can talk with God in new ways. I can do this. This can be part of my lifestyle. So we're going to spend 3 weeks on this topic of prayer, but a passage that is familiar to many of you, maybe not to some, this is a prayer that Jesus taught his followers in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. These are just real life things. Jesus, pray like this. These are things you should pray about. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. God, you're amazing. You're powerful. You're holy. You're wonderful. We pray about that. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, may your will be done right on earth, in my home, in my workplace, at my school. Lord, where my life's not in line with your will, realign me. And we pray about that. Give us today our daily bread. God, give me what I need. I don't need sweet rolls. Just give me some bread, God, I pray. Give me what I need today. And here's what I need. In this relationship, I need patience. At work, I need strength. And just pray through what your needs are. Talk to God about those things. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. God, forgive me for the wrongs I've done. And help me forgive others who've wronged me. Well, that's like Bill, for instance. If there's a new name, Bill, it's not about you. You know, God, and you start to say, that guy really hurt me, and I'm really angry, and I'm bitter, and I need to learn to forgive. And you begin to pray about those things. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, you know the temptations I face. Help me stand strong against those. Give me power. And you begin to talk with God about, you know, the Lord's Prayer, that was given not to be repeated just word for word. It was given to launch us into a dynamic prayer relationship. We're going to learn about that as a congregation this first quarter of the year. We're going to go deeper into that. In the meantime, here's a couple of practical ideas, just little takeaways. And if you're a note taker, write these down. Maybe one of these will hit you and you'll say, that's something I'm going to work on. Here's one. Find a quiet place. You say, well, I'm a mom with three little kids. Well, find a quiet place really early or late for a few minutes and talk with God. Make a chair, a space somewhere you can get away with God. Pray in the noisy places because most of life is noisy. Learn to pray when you're in traffic. Learn to pray when you're going through your day and it gets to be. Learn to pray in a business meeting where it's really intense. And I don't mean go, dear God. I mean just in your heart, you know, kind of quietly. Say, Lord, give me patience. Because this guy's driving me nuts. You know, whatever. Talk to God. Be honest with God. Talk to him. And share your heart with him. Ask good questions of God and listen. Have you ever asked God questions and listened to him? Here's some questions. If you're a note taker, write these down. God, how much do you love me? A good question? Just in your prayer, say, God, how much do you love me? And just listen. And you know, I know you think, you know, God's usually mad at me because I'm doing things wrong. No, if you know him, if you have faith in Jesus, God, how much do you love me? He's going to start to remind you. I loved you so much, I sent my only son. I loved you when all your sin was there in front of me, and I died for you anyways. I love you more than you'll ever. And he'll tell you, listen. Ask a good question of God and listen. Ask God this question. Who needs your love and care today? Good question. God, who needs your love and care today? God will put someone on your heart. Maybe it's one of your kids. Think, man, I could go on right by him, or I could stop and really care for them. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody you haven't seen for 3 or 4 years. I've had this happen where I say, God, who needs your love and care? God will put someone on my heart. I got to track them down and find them and send them a note or give them a call. I say, God, just put you on my heart today that you just need to know he loves you today. Really? God, I mean, God, you're not just saying that. I mean, God, really? No, I was praying and I said, God, who needs your love and care? And you came to my mind. Wow. And they'll usually tell you about how they just needed that call so much at that moment. And you say, wow, God does answer prayer. And I have one more question. Here's a challenge. This is those are 101, 201. This is your 401 advanced level. This is your master's level, doctoral level kind of question. This is dangerous, but you can try it. God, is there any area in my life that needs to change or attitude that needs to change? You know, people who say, I don't think God still speaks today. I tell them, ask that question of God. You'll hear him speak. He'll say something like this. I've been telling you for a month. You know, let's go. It's time. You know, God, is there any attitude or area or motive that needs to change? And God will gently say to you, I love you, but you know what? You need to live differently here. God wants to speak to us. So start to pray. Talk to him. Give praise to God. Just thank him. Celebrate him. Praise his holy name. Lift him up and praise him for who he is. God, I praise you that you're holy. You're loving. You're patient. Oh, God, you're so patient. And praise him for who he is. Confess. God, I've messed up again. I said I'd never be here again, and I'm here again. God, I confess it. I'm so sorry. Now recalculate. I repent. Redirect my life and align me with my focus on Jesus and my foundation, the Word of God and the truth of Jesus. God, realign my life. I confess where I've messed up, where I've sinned. Be thankful for what God does. God, I'm so thankful for the things you've done for me. Boy, God, I look back over this last year, and there's so many things I'm thankful for. There's things that have been tough and hard. But God, I'm still standing, and I'm still here, and I still love you. I'm thankful. For the people in my life who've come, stood alongside of me, I'm so thankful. And give thanks. Just talk to God. And we're going to spend 3 weeks just learning how to have that kind of a conversational life with God. That 3-week series is going to be called Simple Conversations. Just learning to talk to God. So come and be part of those as we walk through this year. And then the last area. So we grow in God's word. You want to, you know, get the focus and the foundation right. God's word. Talk to God in prayer. And one more thing. Joyful connection with God through worship. Grow as a worshiper. This year, 2011, say, I will worship God. I am going to lift him up. I'm going to praise his name. I'm not saying you got to dance in the spirit. I'm not saying you got to run up and down the aisles. Actually, I prefer you wouldn't do that because it'll be distracting. But I mean, in terms of running up and down the aisles. If you want to dance, just, you know, just don't dance too crazy. But you know, just, I'm going to worship God in the sense of giving my heart to him and praising him. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, Jesus is talking with this woman, and he's explaining about worship, and he says this. Jesus says, "Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Now listen to this. "For they are the kind of worshipers the Father," what does it say? "Seeks." God is looking for worshipers. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Grow as a commit in 2011. If you want to get your focus on Jesus, commit to be a worshiper. Here's a few ways, just a couple practical ideas. Number one, sing from your heart. When we gather together like this in worship, sing with all your heart. "Well, I don't always like the style of music." Okay, here's my pastoral response for those who say, "I don't like the style of music." Pastoral response: get over it. That's about it. This is why I don't do a lot of counseling. Compassion is not really my gift. Exhortation is. But you know what? It's not about you. It's about Jesus. So worship with all your heart. "Well, it's a little loud for me." Well, then wear some earplugs till the music's done, but sing and praise and worship. "Well, I don't always like the songs." It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And so you say, "I will worship and I will sing and I will praise because God is God, not because I always like the style. I will be a worshiper." You say, "I've been a Christian for 2 or 3 years. I still don't really like singing. I really don't like to sing." Here, please hear this. God likes you to sing. You're not doing it for you. You're doing it for him. And all through Scripture, he says, sing to the Lord. Sing a new song. Sing from the depth of your heart. So here's a challenge for 2011. Next week when we gather together here, sing from your heart. You'll be amazed at what God does in and through you as you do that. How about this? Be honest with God no matter what. Tell God, you want to be a worshiper, be honest with God. Tell God how you're feeling, what you're doing. "God, I am so afraid in this situation. God, I'm nervous about the future. God, I'm rejoicing in this. God, I'm celebrating." Just tell God, you want to be a worshiper, worship in truth. Don't hide anything from God. Tell him about what you're feeling, what you're going through, whether it's your greatest pain and struggle or your greatest joy and celebration. Tell God. Just say, "God, I'm an open book in front of you." And that's part of worship. It's just laying ourselves open before God. Watch your posture. Watch your posture. Now, some of you are sitting up straight now. That's not what I'm talking about. Watch your posture. The Bible talks about bowing down in worship before God. There is something about bowing down. Here's a little challenge for you for 2011. Once a week, go somewhere, close a door in your bedroom, somewhere, lock a door, and do this. Get on your knees and bow your head and lift your hands and just say, "God, I worship you. I bow down because you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the mighty God. I bow down because I don't know what to do next, but God, you do. And you can redirect my life. You've got the tower. You're in charge. You know what I need. God, I just submit myself to you. And I worship you." And there's something about this posture. The Bible talks about kneeling, bowing before the Lord. There's something about it. I don't know what it does, something in your soul. And there used to be a time where a lot of people would, you know, they in the mornings, the evenings, they'd kneel next to their bed. They'd bow down. We don't do a lot of that anymore. At least once a week, find a place. You say, "Well, I got bad knees. I can't kneel down." Then lay flat on your face. It's actually the word worship means to prostrate, to lay yourself flat out, to lay before the Lord. Kneel down, lay before the Lord, and just put, you say, "God, I just yield myself to you." It will do something in your soul, in your life with Jesus. And then one little other idea about worship is be amazed. Just be amazed at God's goodness. So I come home from a day working at the church here, and I get home and Sherry has made street tacos. She makes these great tacos with corn tortillas with carnitas and then onions and cilantro, and I'm getting a little excited here. But so I come home and I just go, "God, you're amazing." My wife makes me these tacos. They're incredible. And I thank God. I'm amazed at God's goodness. Be amazed. Notice. Or maybe I come home and Sherry's not there and there's no food. But I open the cabinet and there's a can of refried beans. And there's some chips. So I'm amazed because God is good. Manna from heaven, right? Right? I mean, I could be amazed at God's goodness. I'm driving down the road. And I hit 6 green lights in a row. Like, "God, I'm amazed at your goodness. Look at this." Or I hit a red light. And I stop. I said, "God, I can just stop right here and I can just talk to you in prayer. You're that close. I'm amazed at that." You see what I'm saying? Be amazed at God all the time. There's amazing things going on. Just notice. That's worship. A worshiper says, "God, you're good. You're present. You're doing stuff. And you're engaging with God." So here's a question. How is the trajectory of your spiritual life? Your focus and your foundation. Is your focus on Jesus? Is your foundation God's word and the truth of Jesus? And what I'm going to do at the close of every service for all of 2011, I'm adding to not writing the sermons, doing the weekly readings and the small group guides, all those are there for you, but I'm going to add at the end of every service a couple of questions for you to take with you. So if you're a note taker, write them down. If not, I just lock them in your memory. Here's a couple of questions for you to take with you. Honestly, what is my focus right now? Get somewhere with God for 5 minutes today. It won't take long. And say, God, I want to be honest. My focus in my life right now is, it's my work. It's my lack of work. It's money. It's lack of money. It's this person. It's this circumstance. I don't know. Or it's Jesus. And if it's something else, say, God, help me recalculate, recalibrate, repent, redirect my life towards you. But be honest. Take some time and say, what is the focus of my life right now? Second question is this. Am I building on a solid foundation or on the sand? Some of you could go, if I keep doing what I'm doing or if I get caught doing what I'm doing, it's all coming down. I'm building on sand right now. It's not the foundation of Jesus. And if you're honest with God and that's the case, say, God, things have to change here. It's not too late. Start today and begin to recalibrate and move your life. Repent, turn in the right direction, follow God. And one last question. This is a very important question. How can I devote myself to God's word in a deeper way in 2011? Whether it's getting in a small group, coming to a Bible study, coming to nights of worship, opening the Bible. The absolute best way is just day by day, read this book. Take that reading guide or use your own program and get into the word every day. Say, God, speak to me and teach me. And if you give me direction, I'll recalibrate, recalculate, and get my life in line with what you want for me. And you will be amazed. You'll look back 6 months from now at January 2nd, 2011, and you will say, I'm more like Jesus. I'm walking with him more closely. I have more peace and joy and strength and health. Not that everything's going perfect, but I know I'm heading the right direction and I keep adjusting my focus on Jesus, the foundation of God's word and God's truth, and I'm becoming the person he wants me to be. And that's the longing of our hearts, isn't it? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for a new year. Thank you for Shoreline Community Church, a church where people are loved and embraced and accepted right where they are, and loved enough to challenge them to go from where they are to where you want them to be. We thank you that we are a place that is committed to see as many people as possible become totally committed to Jesus Christ. To that end, lead and guide us in this new year. Jesus, be our focus, be our foundation, and lead and guide us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Two things as you go. Number one, if you're a guest for the first time or you've never gone to our Connection Center, they'd love to meet you out these doors to the left. They have a gift they want to give you. They'll answer your questions. There's the weekly small group materials there for free. Pick one of those up. If you want prayer, come to one of these folks along the walls here. They would love to pray for you. We'll see you tomorrow night at one of the Bible studies during the week or next Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week.